Speaking of watching, no doubt you might have been one of those either spellbound by the Trump Giuliani circus this past week or maybe repelled by it and turned off the news. So let me catch you up on some of the stuff you might have missed this past week. The CDC advised against traveling for Thanksgiving. U.S. passed the 250,000 coronavirus death number this past week. The Dow and other indexes in the markets hit new highs. A survey revealed there are still people who use password as their password. SpaceX launched their second manned mission to the International Space Station. The Rockefeller Center Christmas tree arrived in New York City, and well, not to rave reviews, it does look like an overgrown Charlie Brown Christmas tree, but you always have to give time for the tree to spread, don't you? You know how that works. The White House Coronavirus Task Force held its first briefing since July. It featured Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx. Everyone was wearing face masks. No, hell did not freeze over. Georgia veterans are calling for Democratic Senate candidate Reverend Raphael Warnock to drop out. Why? Well, they found comments that he made in the past a bit troubling, including his saying that nobody can serve God and the military. 12 million people are set to lose unemployment benefits the day after Christmas. Kyle Rittenhouse revealed that he used his stimulus check to, it turns out, illegally buy the gun that he used to shoot two people in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And wildfires continue, new ones springing up in California, Nevada, and Colorado. Just some of the actual news that you missed this past week. But the post-election did provide to be quite the spectator sport, did it not? We have Rudy Giuliani heading up the Trump legal challenges and asking for $20,000 per day to do it, by the way. Rudy goes in front of the cameras screaming about election fraud, but he's bound by law standing in the courtroom when asked by a judge to state that there is no fraud. No, that's what he actually had to do in Pennsylvania. Though if you're one of those now watching either Newsmax TV or One America News, that's another story that you probably missed. So who's paying Rudy and Sidney Powell, who is a QAnon disciple, by the way, if you don't believe me, you can look for yourself, and all the other lawyers before them who also struck out in one court after another. Who's paying them? Well, not Trump. It's the people who respond with donations to the dozen or so emails. I can vouch for that because I'm still on their mailing list. You can opt out at the bottom. I just like to see how far they want to reach. But there are a dozen or so emails each day the Trump campaign sends out. The subject lines include, this is a disgrace, open me, ballot counting abuse, proof, urgent message, major update. None of these emails contain actual proof, by the way. They're just allegations or frequent claims that the Trump campaign is in possession of 234 affidavits of election fraud witnesses. 234. 234. And that's original, isn't it? Why not make it more impressive? Come on. Why not 789? These emails also come with the claim that if you cough up some cash within the next hour, your donation will be matched 1,000%. Although they never say by who. Going back to those much talked about affidavits, they actually were part of the case that the Trump campaign filed, then withdrew in Michigan, claiming that they got what they wanted in that state. Which they didn't. They almost did when the two GOP election officials in Wayne County refused to certify the election, but then they reversed. Strange thing, though, President Trump calls them, and suddenly they want to reverse a reversal, but sorry, law says you can't. And additionally, too, by and large, affidavits are not evidence as a standalone. They're claims and allegations still, which needs supporting evidence, which the attorneys presenting them are supposed to be supplying. Many affidavits we've come to learn from one of the other cases the Trump campaign had filed were tossed out for lack of weight and accuracy. Among the reasons were that what was being claimed as election fraud was in fact a legal part of the process, which the person submitting the affidavit didn't realize because they failed to attend required training sessions for whatever their position was. So what's next? Is Trump going to go on TV now to offer miracle spring water from Mar-a-Lago? They'll compel God to make you rich? Which you can get if you donate to these dead-on-arrival legal efforts. I guess the bigger question is Is any of this working? Is anyone actually buying tickets to this circus? Yeah, some are. More than you would imagine. That is, if a poll by Reuters is accurate, they found that 52% of Republicans when asked now believe that Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election. So with a diversion such as this creating doubts about our election process, how will this impact the runoff elections for the U.S. Senate in Georgia? Will it compel enough Republican voters to sit home, convinced now that the whole system's rigged, so why bother? Which will allow the Democrats to win both of those Senate races and in turn give control of the Senate to the Democrats? As all this goes on, by the way, Trump continues to throw his post-election tantrum against anyone who dares to speak the truth and facts about how there's nothing in the counts of the audits that will change the results of the election. Or he's firing people in the Defense Department, Homeland Security, other departments, only to replace them with people who were deemed unqualified in the past when they were officially nominated. Even opponents, when you get down to it, have to admit that the Trump one-term presidency was one of accomplishments. You look at the economy, businesses, industries, Middle East, especially Israel. There's a legacy of achievements which, through his own actions in the post-election time, Donald Trump is not simply casting a black mark on, he's blotting it all out with his egotistical shadow. You know, it's been interesting how, for a variety of reasons, these past almost 4 years of President Trump has opened the doors to history actually repeating itself. And maybe we're about to arrive at another one of those times. And you know what? I think I can help everyone realize it before it actually gets here. Let's go back to 1954. Here's Joseph Welch finally swinging a hammer at Senator Joseph McCarthy in front of the world. And ironically, what they're crossing swords over involves Roy Cohn, who became an ally of Donald Trump many years later.
May I say that Mr. Welch talks about this being cruel and reckless. He was just baiting. He has been baiting Mr. Cohn here for hours, requesting that Mr. Cohn, before sundown, get out of any department of the government anyone who was serving the communist cause. Now, I just give this man's record, and I want to say, Mr. Welch, that it has been labeled long before he became a member, as early as 1944.
Senator, may we not drop this? We know he belongs to the Lawyers Guild, and Mr. Cohn nods his head at me. I did you, I think, no personal injury, Mr. Cohn.
No, sir.
I meant to do you no personal injury. And if I did, I beg your pardon. Let us not assassinate this lad further, Senator. You've done enough. Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?
I know this hurts you, Mr. Welch.
May
I say, Mr. Chairman, as a point of personal privilege, I'd like to finish this.
Senator, I think it hurts you too, sir.
I'd like to finish this. I know Mr. Cohn would rather not have me go into this. I intend to, however, and Mr. Welch talks about any sense of decency. It seems that Mr. Welch is pained so deeply, he thinks it's improper for me to give the record, the Communist Front record, of the man whom he wanted to foist upon this committee. But it doesn't pain him at all. There's no pain in his chest about the attempt to destroy the reputation and the take the jobs away from the young men who are working in my committee. And Mr. Welch, if I have said anything here which is untrue, then tell me. I have heard you and everyone else talk so much about laying the truth upon the table, that when I heard a completely phony Mr. Welch, I've listened to you now for a long time, to say now before sundown, you must get these people out of government. So that I just want to have it very clear that you were not so serious about that when you tried to recommend this man for this committee. But the point is,
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say again that he does not believe Mr. Welch recommended Mr. Fisher as counsel for this committee, because he had, through his office, all the recommendations which were made and does not recall any of them coming from Mr. Welch, and that would include Mr. Fisher.
Well, let me ask Mr. Welch. You brought him down, did you not, to act as your assistant?
Mr. McCarthy, I will not discuss this further with you. You have sat within 6 feet of me and could have asked me about Fred Fisher. You have seen fit to bring it out, and if there is a God in heaven, it will do neither you nor your cause any good. I will not discuss it further. I will not ask Mr. Cohn any more witnesses. You, Mr. Chairman, may, if you will, call the next witness.
Got an idea for you. I suggest you do what I did this past week. I put up the Christmas tree decorations, flipped off the news channels, tuned into the Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel. That was this past Tuesday. I could tell you I was instantly put into the best mood I've had for months, and I recommend highly that you do the same.